Hey, praise him, and welcome to Walk It Out with Leah McCray. I'm Leah McCray, and thank you guys for being here. We are still in Genesis. We are at Genesis 30. I'm having a slight malfunction here with my treadmill. So let me get this back going here. Let's see, there we go. So we are at Genesis chapter 30. Here we are walking it out, walking out the word, transforming our body as we transform our mind. The goal or the vision is to go from Genesis to Revelations. And we are nearing the end of Genesis. We are in Genesis 30, and that's where we are going to start today. So you guys, if you're not already on your treadmills or doing your Pilates or your weights or just taking a walk, whatever it is you're doing for this next 20 to 30 minutes, we are transforming our bodies. We are putting our bodies to work, getting some exercise. You know, I don't know about you, but I have a pretty sedentary job and things have been catching up with me. So it's time to get these bodies back into shape, get them into the shape that God wants us to have our bodies in, right? You know, because we have to do the work of the Lord in these bodies. And also we're going to be transforming our mind with the Word of God. So I'm going to start. We're going to say a prayer. I'm going to pray us in, and then we're going to go ahead and begin. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God, that you are our daddy, first of all. We thank you for Jesus who gave his blood, who gave his body and his blood for us to draw us near to you so that we could once again be called your sons and daughters. So we love you. We thank you for everything you are doing in our lives. Oh, we bind the enemy, the enemy's plans. We cast down the thoughts and imaginations that are not in alignment with your word, God. And as we take this time to search out your word, we just ask that you would bless it. Bless this time together. Bless my sisters and brothers who are on this podcast with me or watching via YouTube. We just thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, well, we are going to get into the word, Genesis 30. I did have something that I wanted to mention before we started, but should have wrote that down because now I really can't recall what it was. But if the Lord brings it back, if the Spirit brings it back up to me, then I will certainly talk about it. Okay, so Genesis 30, let me just get there. All right. And I am reading from the New Living Translation today. Okay, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she wasn't having any children for Jacob, she became jealous of her sister. She pleaded with Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Then Jacob became furious with Rachel. "Am I God?" he asked. "He's the one who has kept you from having children." Then Rachel told him, "Take my maid, Bilhah, and sleep with her. She will bear children for me, and through her I can have a family too." So Rachel gave her servant Bilhah to Jacob as a wife, and he slept with her. Bilhah became pregnant and presented him with a son. Rachel named him Dan, for she said, "God has vindicated me. He has heard my request and given me a son." Then Bilhah became pregnant again and gave Jacob a second son. Rachel named him Naphtali, for she said, "I have struggled hard with my sister, and I'm winning." Okay, now remember, Jacob had worked all those years. We learned in the previous chapters. He had worked 7 years for Rachel. Okay, but at the end of that 7 years, the father, Laban, the uncle, you know, the father, Laban, gave him Leah instead, tricked him, you know, had her lay in the wedding bed, and when he woke up the next morning, he's like, "Who is this?" You know, it was Leah. So, and he didn't want Leah. He wanted Rachel. So, he promised to work another 7 years to have Rachel as his wife. So he was working 14 years to have Rachel. But because God look down with love on Leah, he allowed Leah's womb to be open, you know, because she didn't have the love of her husband and through no fault of her own. So she had children. She had, was it five sons? Oh, I can't, I believe. But anyway, the last son was named Judah, which was praise. You know, now I will worship the Lord, because after she had tried to get the love of her husband through bearing children, she finally discovered that the love of God, you know, that her relationship with the Lord is what made her complete. So when she got that son, she, her affection turned away from trying to get the love of the man, because she now knew she had the love of God. So she named him Judah, and then her womb was closed for a time. And so we pick up the story in here in Genesis 30 that Rachel is now bearing children. And so now she's had children, and she says at the end of that verse again, I have struggled hard with my sister and I'm winning. Well, actually, she wasn't struggling with her sister, but you know, in the flesh, that's what she was believing. And sometimes that's what we think too. You know, if something isn't happening, or we feel like we're in competition with another person, and you know, and they're getting ahead and we're not, or they're having the very thing that we think we want, but they're getting it, we can feel like we're in competition, like we're struggling. But really, that was not what was going on here at all. It was God's purposes and God's plans that were being accomplished. And so, you know, she had the wrong outlook, as sometimes we do. So it's just interesting. You know, when you read the word, don't just read it like a book. You know, these are real people who had real emotions and real issues. And we can think about the fact that we're real people and we know real people. We come in contact every day with people who have issues and emotions. But yet, you know, we can overcome all of that, and we can get through all of that with the word of God. So the Bible is not just, it's a how to live a victorious life, yes. And it is history, yes. But it is teaching us how to live this life, and showing us ordinary people, okay, that were extraordinary people because of their relationship with the Lord. Ooh, I'm going up a hill, guys. All right, so anyway, verse 9 says, meanwhile, Leah realized that she wasn't getting pregnant anymore, so she took her servant, Zilpah, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Soon, Zilpah presented him with a son. Leah named him Gad, for she said, how fortunate I am. Then Zilpah gave Jacob a second son, and Leah named him Asher, for she said, what joy is mine! Now the other women will celebrate with me. One day during the wheat harvest, Reuben found some mandrakes growing in a field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Rachel begged Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Now, right, mandrakes was something that they believed that aided fertility, okay, that helped a woman conceive. So this is why Rachel is begging Leah for the mandrakes. But Leah angrily replied, wasn't it enough that you stole my husband? Now will you steal my son's mandrakes too? Rachel answered, I will let Jacob sleep with you tonight if you give me some of the mandrakes. So that evening, as Jacob was coming home from the fields, Leah went out to meet him. You must come and sleep with me tonight, she said. I have paid for you with some mandrakes that my son found. So that night he slept with Leah. I'm just going to go on a side on this one right here and just look at the contention between the women, the struggle, the, you know, the bartering for the love of a husband. And it just reminds me back to the curse, you know, that the curse was pronounced on Eve when he said, you know, your desire will be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. So there's a desire for the husband, and they are and Leah is bartering, is selling what she has to spend intimate moments with her husband, and Rachel is purchasing what she thinks will assist her in having more children for her husband. Now, this is, I don't believe this is the intention. Well, we know. I don't have to say I don't believe. Okay, we can know, because this is the result of the curse, that this was not the intention for the union between man and woman, for there to be a competition between women, for there to be shared love, you know, for one woman to not feel loved or to be set aside for the love of another. You know, the man and the wife, that union is supposed to, you're supposed to feel safe, feel completed, feel desired, feel loved, you know. And when we get into the New Testament, we'll get back to what the original plan was for the marriage. You know, it would be spoken plainly in the New Testament, but when I'm reading this, it just just reminded me of, that's such a curse, you know. That's, I mean, to feel like I had to compete for my husband once I'm married to him, to feel like I have to compete for his time, or, you know, for his affection, and to feel like a woman, you know, that's not God's best. That's not his intention for us. So anyway, I don't know where that came from, but I just had to talk about that for a minute. Okay, so in verse 17, it says, and okay, the Holy Spirit just told me, just one thing came to mind. Okay, so because he allowed this, okay, sometimes we think, well, that's how it was, you know, in the Old Testament, they had many wives, and they could, you know, just take a woman and treat her any kind of way and stuff like that. Well, that wasn't God's best. Okay, I mean, that wasn't God's intention. Okay, that was how man sought to live out what he thought, you know, was the best thing to do. But that's never God's intention. He made one man and one woman, right, for each other. He said that they complete each other. So as we read through the word and we see some things that are happening in the Old Testament, because that's a big argument for people who don't know God, who don't believe in God, and who want to make you think that you're crazy for loving God or believing in God. You know, they'll bring up these lifestyles or these situations in the Old Testament without an understanding of what is really being taught, or what God is really doing during that time. So they don't know and they don't care, but yet they want to try and counsel you and tell you that you're crazy, you know, for believing in a God who would allow this or allow that. So anyway, so verse 17, and God answered Leah's prayers. She became pregnant again and gave birth to a fifth son for Jacob. She named him Issachar, for she said, God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband as a wife. Then Leah became pregnant again and gave birth to a sixth son for Jacob. She named him Zebulun, for she said, God has given me a good reward. Now my husband will treat me with respect, for I have given him six sons. Later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel's plight and answered her prayers by enabling her to have children. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. God has removed my disgrace, she said, and she named him Joseph. For she said, may the Lord add yet another son to my family. Jacob's wealth increases. So, 25. Soon after Rachel had given birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, please release me so I can go to my own country. Let me take my wives and children, for I have earned them by serving you, and let me be on my way. You certainly know how hard I have worked for you. Please listen to me, Laban replied. I have become wealthy, for the Lord has blessed me because of you. Okay, now this man Laban, okay, he was a deceitful man. He was a trickster, but he knew that God was blessing Jacob and that he was blessed because of him. Okay, that the blessing was rolling off of him. He was benefiting from the blessing. Put it that way. He was benefiting from Jacob's blessing, from the God who blessed Jacob. And he was wise enough to know this. He had enough sense to know that. So he said, you know, please listen. The Lord has blessed me because of you. Tell me how much I owe you. Whatever it is, I'll pay it. Jacob replied, you know how hard I've worked for you and how your flocks and herds have grown under my care. You had little indeed before I came, but your wealth has increased enormously. The Lord has blessed you through everything I've done. But now, what about me? When can I start providing for my own family? Wow. The Lord has blessed Laban because of Jacob's presence, because of Jacob working faithfully. And that should tell us something. Okay, the people who we are around, okay, the jobs where we work, the companies we work for, whoever is attached to us, they should be blessed because we're blessed. Okay, our blessing, we should be a blessing to them, put it that way. Wherever we go, the blessing of God is on our lives, right? So it can impact people. And we know that Laban had a respect for God. He didn't know him personally, you know, but he knew that he was a God who had caused all the blessing that he was seeing. So anyway, but Jacob says, look, you have been blessed because of me. You know, I've worked faithfully for you. I've never, haven't cheated you for your possessions. Now I'm just saying it's time for me to go out on my own. Okay. And so Laban says, what wages do you want? Laban asked again. Jacob replied, don't give me anything. Just do this one thing and I'll continue to tend and watch over your flocks. Let me inspect your flocks today and remove all the sheep and goats that are speckled or spotted, along with all the black sheep. Give these to me as my wages. In the future, when you check on the animals you have given me as my wages, you'll see that I have been honest. If you find in my flock any goats without speckles or spots, or any sheep that are not black, you will know that I have stolen from you. Wow. Where does he come up with this plan? Right? Directly from the Spirit of God. Okay, this is wisdom from on high. God tells him what to ask for. And that's instruction for us. Don't always be quick to say what you want or what you desire from a situation or from your circumstances, your job, whatever. Ask God. Ask God for the plan. Ask God for what you should ask for. Okay, we're so quick to just, you know, to use our own reasoning and our own mind. But man, God has the perfect plan. God knows what we should be asking for, or what what our demands should be. Seek God. So he says, all right, Laban replied, it will be as you say. But that very day, Laban went out and removed the male goats that were streaked and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted or had white patches, and all the black sheep. He placed them in the care of his sons, who took them 3 days' journey from where Jacob was. Meanwhile, Jacob stayed and cared for the rest of Laban's flock. So look at this. He's being deceitful. Laban has a plan. Laban has a plan to rob this man, to rob Jacob of his wages, okay, because he said, how can I pay you? And Jacob said, pay me in this, you know? So Laban selfishly wants to keep him around, first of all, to work for him, but also to be blessed. Now, how he thought that he was going to continue to be blessed by trying to steal from the man of God, I don't know. But you know, that the enemy and the flesh, selfishness, greed, can make you do some crazy things. Things that you think are all right, but really they're not. So anyway, Jacob stayed and cared for the rest of Laban's flock. Jacob was still being faithful. Then Jacob took some fresh branches from poplar, almond, and palm trees. Woo! Starting to get hot, guys. How y'all doing out there? You all right? Keep pressing. We got just a few more minutes. So Jacob took some fresh branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees and peeled off strips of bark, making white streaks on them. Then he placed these peeled branches in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, for that was where they made it. And when they made it in front of the white streak branches, they gave birth to young that was streaked, speckled, and spotted. Uh-oh. Jacob separated those lambs from Laban's flock. And at mating time, he turned the flock to face Laban's animals that were streaked or black. This is how he built his own flock instead of increasing Laban's. Whenever the stronger females were ready to mate, Jacob would place the peeled branches in the watering trough in front of them. Then they would mate in front of the branches. But he didn't do this with the weaker ones. So the weaker lambs belonged to Laban, and the stronger ones were Jacob's. As a result, Jacob became very wealthy with large flocks of sheep and goats, females and male servants, and many camels and donkeys. And that is the end of chapter 30. So, although Laban thought he had devised a scheme to rob Jacob and to keep him around, or when it was time for him to go to build his wealth, instead of allowing Jacob to be paid a fair wage to honor the agreement that he had with Jacob, he devised his plan. Oh, but God. But God had given Jacob a strategy, supernaturally increasing his flocks in number and in strength. So, this is what we know, okay? People may have plans to harm you, to cheat you, to walk all over you, but you have a God, hallelujah. You have a God who knows what is in the minds of man, and he laughs at the schemes of man. So you don't have to worry about what people are devising, what plots, you know, they're spending hours, days, weeks thinking of how to bring you down or how to rob you from whatever it is, from joy, from peace, from financially, whatever it is. You don't have to be concerned with that. You just keep being faithful and doing the very thing that God has called you to do, to seeking his face, to casting all your cares and anxieties at his feet, because God knows, and God has an even bigger plan, okay? God knows the plans that he has for you, and they are for good, not for evil, and they will give you an expected end. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So you don't have to be worried about the schemes that the enemy is cooking up. Go to sleep. Sleep peacefully. Wake up asking God, what next, Papa? What do you want me to do today? That's all you got to do. The word of God says that the only work that we have is to believe him. Ooh, I think that's in Hebrews maybe, or it's in the New Testament. I'm going to have to find that. I got to get better at calling out a particular scriptural reference as far as where it is in the book, but I know it's in there. It's in the book and it's in my heart. So anyway, he knows the plans that he has for you. And they are for good and they are not for evil, to give you an expecting end. So we don't have to worry about what the enemy's doing, what people are doing that are being used by the enemy. We don't have to worry about that. We just do what God is telling us to do. Be obedient to the word. Amen. Be faithful. Repent when you need to. Tell God you're sorry.